Coast, and I'm from Ohio. I just feel like we should know each other. So there's some other Ohioans in here? Okay, I knew I loved you guys. Cool. So grew up in Ohio, and Ohio has many amazing things going for it. Many. Now, but there are two really bad things about Ohio, and I'm going to tell you those. First of all, our professional sports teams are awful. Actually, many of them do get paid at Ohio State. So some of y'all just caught that. Anyways, we're working on it, right? We're working through that. It's behind us. So Ohio's great because it's awesome, but it's not great because our sports teams stink. But here's the second thing that stinks about Ohio. When you're driving in Ohio, they don't allow you to make U-turns. Isn't that weird? Have you ever known a day where you couldn't make a U-turn wherever you want? I know what most of you are thinking, because you're in Texas. You're like, we're Texans. We U-turn wherever the stink we want to. That I know. That's what I said when I got here. I got down here, and I was like, wait, I can turn here? Yeah, cool. They're coming 80. If you want to, go ahead. I love this place. You know? I love Texas. You can make U-turns. I even, you know, bought into Texas so much that I went and got some cowboy boots. I actually have three pairs of cowboy boots. I'd never had them before. So highly recommend them. Highly recommend them, except don't wear them with shorts. Did that once, got made fun of. It's bad. So here's my question tonight. I didn't do that. I was kidding. That broke all the fashion rules. Question for you. Do you have what it takes? Do you have what it takes to make a U-turn? Do you have what it takes to make a U-turn? Tonight I'm going to tell you about a person who made a U-turn. We'll look at this woman's story and hear about how her life experienced a U-turn. See a little bit of how it relates to your life. Check this out. So I'll be reading in John chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles on your phones or, you know, wherever you have your Bibles, John chapter 4, and starting with me, give you a little background on the passage. Jesus and his disciples, these are the guys that follow Jesus. They are following Jesus, and Jesus says to them, we need to go back to my home country, my home area. Now, the place that Jesus lived in this time was a little bit unique because they had this region of land called Samaria that was between Judah, which is where the temple was, the really, 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 really important. Imagine if Northwood Church was here in Keller. Hard to imagine because it is here in Keller. Northwood Church is here, but your home is, say, like 20 or 30 miles away, but between Northwood and your home is like a 15-square-mile radius that you are not allowed to go. That'd be weird. That was weird. That's what Jesus experienced. There was this area of land called Samaria that he could not go, or that it was looked at as they should not go. These people were called the Samaritans. They were considered half. They were considered dirty. They were considered stupid. They were considered just impure. They had their own ways of worship. They're just, ugh. Jews do not mess with Samaritans. So Jesus turns to his disciples, as Jesus always does. By the way, Jesus is confusing. Have you ever read any of the New Testament and went, what? Anybody? Okay, so yeah, like maybe 8 or 12 of us. So Jesus can be confusing. And he looks at his disciples and he said, we're going back home. And by the way, we're taking the highway through Samaria. They don't have highways. They walk by foot back then. And he goes through Samaria and they're looking at him going, excuse me? Come again? They would actually walk about 3 days' journey around Samaria so they wouldn't have to interact with those people. That's what they would do in that day. Jesus says, we're walking through the heart. And in John chapter 4, verse 6, here's what it says. It says, they get to Jacob's Well, which is a really famous Jewish place. It's right in the middle of the Samaritans' land, the dirty land, the land of the impure people. And they never visited it because those people were there. And they get to this place, and they sit down at Jacob's Well, and Jesus was tired. He was tired from his journey. He sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now, that doesn't mean it was 6 o'clock at night. That means it was 6 o'clock from sunup. Six hours from sunup would have made it, if you have sunup at 6 a.m., would have made it right about noon. So it's in the heat of the day, the sun's blazing down in the desert, and he goes to this well. Verse 7 says this, then a Samaritan woman came to draw water. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now pause for a second. Jewish men and Samaritan women don't talk. They walk, if a Jewish man is walking down the road and a Samaritan is walking, they're going to walk to the other side of the road and let the Samaritan pass by because they're impure, they're unclean, they've done things, they've just got a past. Well, Jesus walks right up and he's sitting at this well, and this woman comes up and sits down. And this woman walks up and Jesus says to her, "Hey, woman." That sounds kind of mean, doesn't it? "Woman." Hey, it wasn't like that. But he says, "Woman, draw me some water. Draw me some water." She looks at him and says, "Stop. You're a Jewish man. We don't talk. Not only do we not talk because you think I'm dirty and I think I'm wrong and I'm broken and apart from God, not only that, I don't get you water because you think you're better than me." Pause for a second. You think she knew who she was talking to? Not a clue. That was the point. Check this out. Jesus walks up to this well at a certain point in time, and he sits down, and he starts a conversation with this woman, and she has no idea who she's talking to. Jesus wants to start a conversation with you. He wants to walk into the middle of your life, plop down, and start a conversation with you. Now, some of you, you started a conversation with Jesus when you were this tall. How many of you had parents who just, they talked to you about Jesus, and they taught you about who he is, and they taught you about the things that he taught and the things that he did and how great and awesome he is? How many of you, from like your earliest memories, you remember parents, man, investing some of those things? Yeah, that's awesome. So look at me. Did this woman have any clue who she was talking to? Did you have any idea that when your mom and dad was speaking about Jesus to you, Jesus was starting a conversation with you through your parent? You know, some of you, Jesus started a conversation with you maybe a few months ago, maybe tonight. Maybe you come on Wednesday nights to unite with us and you hear me talking about Jesus and you're like, blah, blah, blah. What's this guy always talking about Jesus? Blah, blah, blah. And you don't realize deep inside this short bearded German student pastor, Jesus is starting a conversation with you. Some of you, it happened when you were young. Some of you, he's starting that conversation tonight. I remember when, well, at the time, I had no idea Jesus was talking to me. But now when I look back, man, Jesus was talking to me face to face. So I had this girlfriend in high school named Megan. She was a senior, I was a junior. That's how I roll, right? Older ladies, yeah. No. So I had this girlfriend, she was a senior, I was a junior. And we dated. We had this incredibly long high school relationship. It was 2 months. Kidding, okay? Work with me here. So we were dating, and she was going off to college and all this kind of stuff, and I was staying back. And we had also had some tension because here's the thing. When we started dating, here's the thing about Megan. Megan walked close with God. She had a Bible study that she went to. She walked very close to God. She was, you know, involved with church. She read her Bible all the time, all that kind of stuff. And she was a very moral girl. She was a great girl. I was a person who was not moral, but I knew the right moral things to say. I had been around church people enough and church enough to talk about Jesus, to talk about religion, to talk about, you know, not cussing and chewing and dating girls that do that, I guess. You know, I mean, I knew enough of the right moral things to say. So Megan and I dated for 2 months, and in that 2 months, here's what happened. Okay, if I could give you, it was this, total this in our relationship. My values and priorities were here. My values and priorities were pleasing myself, were my interests and all this kind of stuff, and she was really trying to walk after Jesus. And there were several times, we went to prom together, there were several times where we had these intersections where my values were here, what I wanted was here, and what she wanted was there, and we just collided. We would just collide. And we got down, I remember the day that we broke up, and I was sitting in her car, and we were talking, kind of talking about going in different directions, and she just flat out stopped. And she looked me in the eye, and she said this, "You know, Brandon, here's the thing. You talk about Jesus, but sometimes I wonder where you are with him." You know what I felt? Shut up, woman. It's serious. That's what I felt. I know it was kind of rude. Just work, you know, please bear with me. She just basically said, "I don't know what I'm talking about." She just basically said, "I don't know God." She just basically said, I haven't been changed. She just basically said that all the stuff that I do at church and all the religious stuff that I've done before is not good enough. That was Jesus talking to me that night. I was 17. When I was 19, my heart started to soften. And the Lord brought back to my attention that conversation that Megan had with me. And suddenly I realized Jesus was speaking right through Megan. Jesus walked up to my well, sat down and said, "Go get me a drink of water." Enter this conversation with this woman at the well. Check this out. So they start this conversation. Jesus says, "Get me a drink of water." And the woman goes off on a tangent of why she should not give her a drink of water because of all the things that are against them. And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Listen, lady, if you understood who was asking you for water, you would in turn ask him for water back, and he would give you water, and you would never thirst again." Now, that's kind of intriguing because this woman, it's noon, and she's walking up to the well with a big jug and having to fill up water for her family and take it back home. Now, we're probably talking about a mile walk. We're probably talking about a 10-gallon jug. How much does 10 gallons weigh?
A lot.
A lot, right? I don't know. If you know, that'd be awesome. Some of you are like on your phones trying to find out what it actually weighs. That's okay. I'd kind of like to know. But 10 gallons, ladies, particularly the ladies, this was a woman's responsibility to the home was to go get water from the well. That's what all the women in the village did. But there were specific times when women could go to the well. If you were more upper class and if you were more respectable among the community, you would go earlier in the morning when it was cooler. If you were outcast, nasty, if you had a questionable background, you went in the heat of the day when it was most uncomfortable. What time of the day was it? It was noon. That hot as it gets. Hey, here's a word for you tonight. Jesus starts conversations with people with pasts. Isn't that cool? It'd be a great amen point right there. Jesus loves to start conversations with people with pasts. He's not afraid of that. You may go, "Oh, he don't want to start." No, trust me, he does want to start a conversation. Notice, watch this. In the entire town, in this entire Samaritan town, he doesn't go to the religious guy. He doesn't go to the really moral person. He goes to the person with the past. Isn't that cool? Man, that's the Jesus that I follow. So he wants to start a conversation with you. This woman has no clue who she's talking to. How many of you have Jesus all figured out? That's a good response because none of us are there. How many of you are still trying to figure out who Jesus is? Be honest with me. Yeah, I think there's a sense where all of us in here would say that. Look at me. That's okay. That's totally okay. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I don't have him all figured out." Now, other person, say back to that person, "That's okay. That's okay." Okay, so watch this. Watch this about this woman. So this woman, at first, she thinks it's just this Jewish man that's talking to her, and she talks back to him like he's just this Jewish man. She says, "Hey, listen, here's why we can't drink this water." And then Jesus, in their conversation, turns up the heat in the conversation, and he stops and he says, "Hey, woman, go get your husband." You know, and behind it, when he says that, you hear, "Wow, wow, wow." Because this is a turning point in the conversation. And the reason it's a turning point is because of how she responds. She says this, "Sir, I don't have a husband." Almost like, "Yeah, thanks for asking, jerk." And you know what, jerk? And this is her mind, right? You know what Jesus says? Jesus looks at her and says, "Woman, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And the man you're living with isn't your husband." And she was like, "Oh, have you been stalking me on Facebook?" Stalker! You know, so check this out. She goes from, "You're just a Jewish man," to, "Oh my goodness, you must be a prophet." So her understanding of the person she's talking to changes from just a human being to, "Oh my goodness, God might be with that person." And in a second, her understanding of the person she's talking to is going to go from not a Jewish man, not just a prophet, to, "Could this be the Christ?" You notice how when Jesus starts that conversation with you, it may take some time and some interaction for you to understand who you're talking to. Hey, verse 10, I want to read this to you. Verse 10 says this of chapter 4. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So this is back when she thinks she's talking to a man, an average everyday Jewish man. And here's what Jesus does. Jesus turns the conversation. She thinks it's about her water. He starts talking about himself. Do any of you have those friends who always talk about themselves? Don't point. Don't point, Jason. You got one of those friends that you're like, I'm having a bad day. And they're like, oh, my day's worse. You're like, oh, I had an awesome day. I got an A on a test. I got an A++. Like, everything is about them. Hey, look at me, guys. In your conversation with Jesus, in the interactions that you have with Jesus, maybe you go through something very hard with your family. One of the greatest conversations I ever had with Jesus was, and I say it was a great conversation, it wasn't a great circumstance, when my dad left my mom, I had a very hard conversation with Jesus about that. And he furthered that conversation. See, the thing is, when you have a conversation with Jesus, listen, he's going to turn it and tell you about himself. You're like, how selfish. Well, if you walked on water, if you healed the sick, if you caused blind people to see, if you could forgive people's sins, if you could rise from the dead, would you not all talk about yourself? I would too. You know, I was like, yeah, I was like third team all conference. In high school, word, you know? And Jesus is like, I kind of walked on water. I'll shut up now. I'm out. Yeah. In your conversation, he's going to keep talking about himself, and here's the reason why. He's a really big deal. You come back here to Unite Wednesdays, and I hope you do. I hope you come back every Wednesday. I hope you bring 1,000 friends. Seriously. I hope we have to move this into a different room someday. And I hope you bring your friends back here to start a conversation about Jesus, and we're going to keep talking about Jesus, and the reason why, he's a really big deal. And what you're longing for in your life, or what your friends are longing for in your life, longing so much for acceptance that they're doing things that are destroying them, Jesus can fix. He's a really big deal. So she goes from, this is just a Jewish man, to, this man might be from God, to, could this be the Christ? Let me read to you verse 28. And this is the U-turn. Verse 28 is the U-turn. I love verse 28. Here's what it says. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people. Then, leaving her water jar. What did she go to get? Woman, are you dumb? You forgot something. No, she found something. The very thing that she came looking for, she left it behind because she found something greater. Hey, I know. When you come on Wednesday night, I know some of you guys, you come because there's a friend here. You come because a boyfriend or a girlfriend's here. That's your water jar. My prayer is that sometime you would encounter Jesus and you'd go back having found something so much better than what originally brought you here. I pray that you make a U-turn. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, hold on. This woman left her water jar, why she went to the well in the first place, empty-handed, runs back to the people. By the way, the people that probably called her names like tramp, hoe, skank, behind her back when she walked through the town. I don't do that to be rude or inappropriate. I know this is church and stuff. I say that because I want you to understand the world that this woman lived in. And this woman goes back to the people that mock her and said, guys, you gotta come meet this guy. He might be the Christ. See, they had been waiting for this Christ or this Messiah, these people, because these Jewish people said they were dirty and said they were unacceptable. But when this Messiah comes, here's what's going to happen. They believed that he was going to bring them back to God. And check this out. They were right. But the thing is, this woman was looking at him face to face. And she goes back to her town. She drops what she came for, encounters Jesus, starts a conversation, and goes back where she came from and helps other people do the same. It says this in verse 30. It says this, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town. They took her at her word. They came out of the town and went to see for themselves. That's like you encountering Jesus and you going back to one of your friends and going, you got to come. come with me on Wednesday night. Come. I know you may not understand, but just come. Just come. And you know what? Your friend may walk in, and they may see a short German bearded guy, like, well, blah, 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 early on. But sometime, someday, something's going to happen, and Jesus is going to start a conversation with them through a difficult circumstance in their life, and they're going to do a U-turn. Jesus wants to do a U-turn. He wants you to do a U-turn in your life. Now, some of you did a U-turn when you were young. Some of you, man, you were 5, 6, 7, 8, and your parents have been speaking to you, and Jesus, you know, you really went, wow, Jesus is the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the boss of my life. How many of you would say, that's me. I put my trust, I turned to Christ when I was really, really young. Raise your hand. Hey, that's okay. That's way okay, and that's awesome. Sometimes I'm around teenagers that are like, I haven't robbed a bank, I haven't been in a gang, and I haven't been a drug dealer, but I love Jesus. Do I have a story? Yeah. It doesn't matter where you came from. All that matters is if you know Jesus for who he is. Isn't that cool? But isn't it also cool when the drug dealer does come to know Jesus? So as long as people come to know Jesus, who gives a flip? I don't care where you've been. I just care where you're going. Remember, man, Jesus went to the woman who had a bad reputation and it affected the entire town. The entire town came back. So in this ministry, here's the thing. I don't want your money. I mean, I don't want you guys to walk away going, oh, that student pastor's so cool. Probably not gonna happen. There's cooler guys, you know, all like Langford. I mean, he's no. yeah. Okay. His voice is squeaky. Anyway, go through puberty. Okay, so I'm kidding. I have the microphone, so I get the last laugh. His wife's laughing at him. Sorry. This is awesome. Hey, we are together here. We don't make fun of each other. U-N-I-T-Y. Okay. We want... back on track. I want you to do a U-turn. That's it. We want you to do the Northwood U-turn. This is what that means. You. Unite. Wednesday night is unite. How many of you came at 7 o'clock and were like, am I early? We're not like singing and stuff. No, you weren't early. I was talking with a couple friends of mine, Wesley and Dallas and Phoenix. We were talking about this. Here's the thing. How many times in your week do you have nothing intentionally planned? How many of you, well, I do not want to see your report card, okay? Graduate high school, pray for that guy. How many of you guys, you go from one thing to another, busy, 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 busy. Yeah, me too. You know what 7 to 7:30 is? Chill. Hang out, go outside, run around in the grass. You're safe here. You're not gonna be rejected here. You're not gonna be mocked here, except if you're Daniel. Listen, you're safe here. If you want to run around, awesome. If you want to roll in the grass, awesome. If you want to climb on the roof and blow stuff up, don't. Do it. That's fine, but I'm calling the cops on you, okay? But serious, I want you to have a place. We want you to have a place where two things. A, you and your friends feel safe. B, we can start a conversation about Jesus because he's a big deal. He'll cause a U-turn in your life. T, that's the U, unite. T, turn to Christ. Many of you have turned to Christ. How many of you would say, maybe in the last year or two, I turned to Christ. I didn't realize who he was at first. I heard, but man, he's my Lord, my Savior. That's awesome. That's so cool. Remember, it doesn't matter when. All that matters is that it happened. And there are some in this room who you've yet to turn to Christ. Oh man, I hope I get to see that. I hope I'm here with you when that happens. Man, I hope you feel the freedom that you could turn to Christ right here in this room. You. U-T, you means you sell. You sell. We have this term, you, that we've been throwing around. This is Northwood students. This is the you. I want you to feel welcome here. It's all about you. We're here for you. And we want you to be involved in a you sell. How many of you have heard us talking about student sells and you sells? Heard us talking a lot about it? That's awesome. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They're kicking off this coming Sunday and next Wednesday. ask you this question. Raise your hand if you don't have God all figured out. Like, I do not have God all figured out. Raise it higher. Raise your hand if you do not have this world around you figured out. And raise your hand if you cannot do this on your own. Good, you should all sign up for cells, because that's who cells are for. Serious, it's for people that don't have God figured out. It's for, but are willing to learn. Not willing to be talked at, but willing to learn and experience and explore God. It's for people who, man, you don't understand your world around you and you want to hear what God has to say about it. And it's for people who, and they can't do this alone, willing to recognize that I need people to stand alongside. Cells are for you. We have high school cells that are meeting two times during the week here on property. Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:45, right in this room. This room is scattered all throughout in cells. That's an opportunity for you to join a student cell. Most of them are led by adults and, man, people that just love you and will walk with you, and it's a safe place. If Sunday's a busy day for you, man, you just can't get out of bed. There's like half of y'all. You just can't get out of bed at 9:30. Well, join a student cell or a U cell on Wednesday night. Those meet from 6 to 7 o'clock. Right up here. Actually, it's not in this room. It's in the local village, and they kick off next Wednesday night. At the end of tonight, here's the thing. At the end of tonight, we're going to allow you, you've got cards under your chair. We're going to allow you guys to fill that out if you want to just at least experience and try out a student cell or a U cell and just kind of test it out. Tell us if you want to do one on Wednesday or on Sunday. Here's the thing, Riley, here's the thing. Man, we want you to pick one cell. We want you to just pick one cell. Don't be like, oh, I want to be in this one. Don't bounce. Just pick a cell. Get to know those people. Walk with life. You need them, they need you, you need God, they need God. Let's just do this together. So, R, reaching your world. How many of you went on a global project with us this summer? You went and spent time with refugees, went to Garden Gate? Yeah, there's a lot of you guys that went with us. Hey, that's awesome, we had an incredible summer. And here's the thing, being a U-turn disciple here means reaching your world. Maybe it means reaching someone in your class, maybe it means reaching someone in your family, but taking them back to the very Jesus that encountered you and affected you in your life, just like this woman did. This woman with a bad reputation meets Jesus and goes and takes the people that had rejected her and mocked her and said, come with me, and in turn, we'll see in the coming weeks what happens in their lives too. And no compromises. No compromises. This isn't saying, if you compromise, God will not like you. No, I'm just saying, hey, compromises cause distractions. Well, Daniel was making fun of me because I wanted that end to have an arrow on the top of it because it's like zigzag up and down because I'm like, hey, yeah. But the reason why I wanted the arrow was because some of you feel like this in your relationship with God. And one of the reasons that you feel like this in your relationship with God is because sometimes you make compromising decisions with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And here's the thing, that sends us into this frustration of, can God still love me? Does he love me? What do I deal with this guilt? No compromises. Part of being a U-turn disciple, let's just put those compromises behind. Let's just, no turning back. Let's move forward. So here's the thing. September 28th, say September 28th. September 28th, we're gonna have a U-turn celebration. Right in here, U-turn celebration. Here's what we're gonna have. We're gonna have teenagers, high school students being baptized. Some of them maybe being baptized by parents, maybe being baptized by peers, maybe being baptized by student pastors. But here's the thing. Many of you guys raised your hand in this room and you said, I've turned to Christ. Did you know that Jesus commands us when we turn to Christ to make that public? Like, yeah, I know he says to obey me. No, not like obey public. I mean a one time, I'm making this public once and for all. Let me show you what it looks like. Some of you guys who went to camp with us, you know what this is. Okay, what does this look like to you? A cross. This, you'd be like, whoa, dude. Yeah, I know. Okay, work with me here. Pretend that this is Jesus. Okay, pretend this is Jesus, and this line represents life and death. Well, Jesus died for your sins. He was crushed because of your decisions and Brandon's decisions, and he died. But on the third day, the Father rose him from the grave with everlasting new life, like this, dead and now alive. And Jesus' message to people was, follow me, I forgive you, and I will give you new life. So watch this. Now pretend this is water and this is you. We bury you in the water and we say, buried with Christ in baptism under the water, raised to walk in a new way of life, just like Jesus. All you're saying is, my life is with Jesus in death. Now my life is resurrected with Jesus in life. Baptism. Here's the thing. If you've trusted Christ, if you've turned to Christ, you've done the T of the U-turn, you've turned to Christ, whether you were six or whether you're 16, it doesn't matter, but you have not made that public, there's a card right here. Jill Roberts, where you at? Everyone look at Jill Roberts, right over there. Hi, Jill. Hey, check this out. Jill has these cards that say God is speaking to me. Say God is speaking to me. I didn't mean like say that. That was weird. That scared me. I'm like, what are you talking back to me? You're like robot. God is speaking to me. Sorry. Okay. This card says God is speaking to me. And one of these says, I need to be baptized to make my new life with Jesus public. Meaning, I'm doing something on the outside to show what he's done on the inside. It's kind of like this, my wedding band. It's an outside sign of something that happened inside, a commitment that I made to God with my wife forever. Some of you need to be baptized. Jill's got these cards. I want you to grab a card. September 28th, it's a Wednesday night. It's 4 weeks from, 3 or 4 weeks from tonight. We'll baptize you right here on the stage. Bring your parents, bring your friends. But you need to get one of these cards from Jill. Hey, listen, if you put you turned to Christ and you were baptized, after that, and that was just an incredible experience for you. This isn't for you, and this isn't so you can have a bath, so if some of y'all stink, this isn't for you, So if you need to be baptized, grab one of those cards from Jill. So I want you to do a U-turn. That's it. That's my will for you. I want you to do a U-turn. I want you to come to Unite, bring your friends, be safe, start a conversation with Jesus. Turn to Christ. I want you to join a U-cell. I want you to experience Christ there and grow life with one another. R, I want you to reach your world. I want to watch you have the joy of reaching your world and seeing people transformed around you. And N, I want to see you have a steady, consistent, not perfect, but steady and consistent growth relationship with God because you put away things that are distracting, compromises. Do you have what it takes to do a U-turn? We're going to pass out pens. Fill out your cell cards. Fill out your cell cards. Put your cell cards right here. Jill Roberts is going to have the baptism cards. If you're interested and that's for you, come grab one and fill those out. And I believe Jill has an announcement. Everybody, please welcome Jill Roberts.